People sometimes assume that the church is a place where everyone has it all together, but a healthy church is more like a hospital, a place where sin is acknowledged and addressed with transparency. In this episode, Tommy and Doug discuss how genuine church health involves recognizing brokenness while working toward healing through gospel-centered ministry. They encourage patient, persistent ministry that equips believers to move from being helped to helping others, all while maintaining realistic expectations about sanctification and the mixed results of faithful gospel work. Here is episode 70 of Imprint Out Loud.
Imprint Out Loud is the audio podcast of Imprint, which exists to leave a healthy mark on the church in Africa through trustworthy biblical resources and training of local church leaders.
Hi everyone, welcome to Imprint Out Loud. I've got Doug with us again. Welcome, Doug.
Thanks, Tommy. Good to be here.
Good. Doug, recently you wrote an article, A Healthy Church, A Place of Healing. And you opened the article quoting Richard Wurmbrand?
Wurmbrand.
Wurmbrand.
He was a Romanian pastor, I believe.
Oh, there we go. And he wrote that churches should have the aroma of a hospital. They should smell of sickness. Mm. Now, that's very interesting.
Yeah.
I know that you said the church heals itself. That's one of my favorite quotes of you. And so that means there is sickness in the church. I had a lunch meeting with one of our fellow elders today, and I just realized that doctors, they never see health. They always just see sickness coming because they need to treat them. And we were just talking about the eldership, and it's like, woof, we shouldn't be surprised if we just see problems the whole time, which is not always great. But that's exactly this, that there's people sick in our church and we are the doctors of the soul. But saying that, there are nurses, there are admin staff in a hospital, which means the church as a whole should be dealing with sick people as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was your heart behind
it? So when I read, this was probably 40 years ago, I read that statement by Wurmbrand, and it was helpful. And the point he was making is that churches are not filled with people who are completely holy. Mm. And I was teaching through John 17 recently somewhere, and Jesus talked about, Father, sanctify them through your truth, your word's truth. Mm. And he focused on the sanctification of his church, which meant that there was improvement that is needed. Mm. And it just struck me as I was teaching through that the church is a place where we need to be progressing towards holiness, but we're never going to perfectly arrive, which means sometimes there's going to be disease in the body. There's going to be sickness. Mm. There's going to be sin sickness. And I'm afraid that sometimes we think a healthy church is a church that's got it all together.
Mm.
And I don't think that's healthy. Mm. I think a healthy church is a church that understands the presence of sickness, sin sickness, spiritual sickness, and it then addresses that in a biblical way. Mm. So I remember once I was discouraged because it seemed like we had a lot of church discipline happening. Mm. And you actually said to me, the fact that we're dealing with it this way is indication of a healthy church. Mm. So I think that we need to keep that in mind, that a church is going to deal with sin.
Mm. Mm.
And that doesn't mean it's unhealthy.
Mm.
So, you know, that's why it's just like a hospital.
Mm.
Years ago, I was in a hospital for a long period of time, and it was a place where there are certain smells, the smell of, you know, surgical spirits and medication and cleanliness, and just has a unique smell to it. And that became almost something that gave me a sense of security, that I was a place where I was not well, but all this working together is going to work towards my health.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
And I think a church should be like that.
Yeah.
That there's a sense of, there's an aroma here of the gospel, and this will help me in my sin sickness.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Yet you don't want to go the other route where Paul says, let sin so that grace may abound. Surely not. I mean, right. That's not. So it's not a place where, well, I can enjoy my sin because there's forgiveness.
Right. In fact, you know, one of the perhaps overworked phrases in the last 20 years has been the church is filled with broken people. Mm. So we're talking about broken people and brokenness. And it's a good phrase. But one of my concerns has often been that we need to realize, yes, the church is filled with broken people, but the point of the church is for that brokenness to be healed.
Yeah.
So there's always that tension between illness and health, illness and wellness,
yeah,
brokenness and being healed.
Yeah.
So I preached before about the body heals itself, one of our members, Neil, who's an orthopedic surgeon, taught me years ago that the body heals itself, that if you get the bones aligned, they heal themselves. Mm. And so that's what we do as elders. We equip the church, which is a medical term in the ancient world, which was used for setting of a bone. Mm. So we recognize there's brokenness, but we say, okay, let's deal with that brokenness.
Yeah.
Let's get healthy so we can walk again.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I think a lot of people, especially in the grief kind of state, it becomes an identity.
Yeah.
Even in a sin state, that is who I am. And you can't break free from that, yet we are more than conquerors.
Yeah.
We are free from sin. And I like what you say, that we all work together for health, right? So spiritual health. You didn't stay in the hospital and now you're permanently booked in.
Yeah.
Because now they're just nursing you in your unhealth.
Right.
They're working towards getting you out.
Yeah.
And that's a helpful picture to say, yes, you are broken, but we're going to help you heal.
In fact, when I came home from the hospital after 10 weeks, and I share this in the article, that I was very nervous because I had 24/7 around the clock. If there was a problem, hit a button. Mm. And there was always a doctor or a pill to help me. And I remember it was tough getting adjusted to being home. And after 6 days, I actually went back to the hospital. And my doctor said to my wife, you know, I'm glad he came back because he's got some issues. But I think one reason he's back here is this is where he feels a security. And then I was there another week and then I came home. But it was nice knowing I could go back to a place. Eventually I got to the point where, man, it's the last place I wanted to go.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think even if I think through the counseling that I've been doing over the years, it is you help them up to a point and say, okay, now you need to walk.
Yeah.
I've been picking you up. I've been carrying you. I can't carry you forever. I can't be your crutch forever. And that's what we need to help people with. It's like, yeah, sure, we're here to help, but we want you to get healthy spiritually so that you can help someone.
Right.
You're in this position so you can help someone else.
Exactly.
It's not a permanent state of unhealth.
Right. Yeah. Our identity is in Christ.
Yeah.
Our identity is not our sin.
Yeah. And I think it's helpful to hear this, even for my own sin struggles, just to see that, first of all, I am free not to sin, 1 John 2. But if I do sin, there's a perfect advocate, Jesus Christ. But also, I need to deal with my sin and involve people in there to help me get healthy quicker so that I can be of help to others.
Right.
So I think if we have that mindset of we're always trying to get healthy, it's not a permanent state
right.
of unhealth.
Yeah. So there's that tension there, right?
Yeah.
So a healthy church is a place of healing.
Yeah.
But emphasis on the healing.
Yeah.
That we want to get. I mean, I've counseled lots of people and I've said to them, at the end of the day, I'm hoping you'll take this once you get right and help somebody else.
Yeah.
Like you just said.
Yeah. Now, if we use the analogy or the picture going forward, maybe in two different areas, one is, if you don't get out of the hospital, you'll eventually die, right? And then you'll go to the morgue, which is discipline, church discipline. Like, okay, well, you're not getting healthy. There might be a deeper problem here, and you're dead, actually.
Yeah.
And we put you out of the church into the morgue.
Yeah.
Maybe talk about that, just like, where does a sin struggle actually become, man, I don't think you are regenerate. even though you're a member, this sin is just not, you're not free from sin.
Yeah, that's a tough one, actually. And that's where I think as a pastor, you're always wondering, you know, how do I address the situation? Is this person a believer who just has a struggle in this area? Or are they an unbeliever and that's why they're struggling in this area? So for me, one of the indications is repentance. So somebody might have a profession of faith. You affirm that, you bring them to church. Let's say they came out of a background of drug addiction. And they're doing really well, then they stumble. And you help them, they get back up. I think that's a real potential. I don't believe that the Bible teaches that every sin struggle we're going to get right until Jesus comes, before Jesus comes. And some people are going to struggle with that. But what I want to see in their life is a real repentance. And they might stumble over and over again. But if they're a happy stumbler, then that's probably a problem. But when it really grieves them and you see them repent, I think we just pick them up again and help them. So I used in the illustration, in the article, an illustration of William Cooper, who wrote God Moves in Mysterious Ways, along with a lot of other well-known hymns. And John Newton was his pastor and walked a long road with him until Cooper died. Cooper tried to kill himself three times and each time failed, which made him feel, strange enough, even more like a failure. The poor guy, he just struggled. And John Newton, when you read the letters that he wrote to him, he loved him. He walked patiently. He spoke straight to him. But he never gave up on him because he saw in William Cooper a man who he believed was genuinely a Christian, but he had this dispositional weakness, and Newton would not abandon him. That's always helped me in dealing with people that just seem to be constant strugglers, but they have enough evidence, and I don't know hearts, but there's enough evidence I can say I can affirm this person as a Christian.
Yeah, so maybe one other indicator, I appreciate you saying repentance, but what I found sometimes is also when they stumbled, how did you get to know about it? Were they caught out and they never came to you, or they immediately come to you and say, brother, I stumbled, or phone you and say, I just stumbled, please come and help me? There's a humility there. It's not a oops.
Right.
So even there, the repentance is true, but how did they come to the repentance, or how did you find out about it?
Yeah, they're not hiding it.
Yeah. Going to the other side, so we've been talking about church, the members unhealthy, growing to health. What about unhealthy professing believers who's not part of a church? How do you allow them in? If they are struggling, because now you need to make a diagnosis of, are you a believer, yet look at your sin? How do you deal with that?
Yeah, and I think that's difficult, but I think the same rules apply. So if you're looking at affirming them as a member, you want to know, do they know what the gospel is? And have they truly believed this gospel? So what are you looking for there? You're looking for, do they love the truth? Do they appear to love the truth? Do they appear to love the brothers? And are they repentant, again, when it comes to their sin? And again, I think we have to realize we can be fooled. That just goes with the territory. We're not omniscient. But I would want to see somebody who was coming in with a really messed up background. I'd want to hear from them. I'd want to see that there's a lifestyle of repentance. If they're coming from another church, I want to know how they left that church. And if they didn't leave that church well, I want to have a conversation with the leaders of that church. I want to know what needs to be done for that individual to leave right. I think those are all indications. And if somebody said, no, I'm not going to deal with that, well, then I would question whether or not they really were in Christ, because you do want to make sure that you are leaving well, which might mean leaving repentant.
Yeah, maybe just a last, that's really helpful. A last point here. You close the article, brothers and sisters, let us reject an unbelieving cynicism that gives up on the sin sick among us. It really struck me when I read that, because I think when you've walked the road for a long time, you've been sanctified, hey man, you kind of think that you've got it all in place and got all the boxes ticked. And I just find it helpful every now and then just to reflect back on where I came from and thinking through, like, man, you were messed up, but the Lord saved you, right, and look where you are now.
Yeah.
Paul writing to Timothy, let them see your growth. And I can't just say that guy's an unbeliever, she's not, because I've walked the road longer than them.
Right.
But actually going back and saying, I don't need as much help because I've been on the road for so long. So let me go back and help someone get to the point where I am.
Yeah. You're right. So we're not the standard, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, I've dealt with enough people in my ministry over the years where there's people who look like they're just a real mess, but they've actually come further than somebody who came into the church squeaky clean.
Yeah.
You know, this person's overcome major sinful stumbling blocks, whereas the person, I don't want to use this negatively, but they're squeaky clean.
Yeah.
They haven't had to deal with those things, but they might have really terrible, stinking attitudes.
Yeah.
So we have to be careful about the standard there.
Mm.
I was recently going through some file cabinets, cleaning them out, and I have these old diaries, actual physical diaries, where I'd write down appointments and I have, and so-and-so was baptized on this day, or they dedicated their child, or whatever. And I was looking through those from the early 90s, and it was actually discouraging. And I said to my wife, I said, you know, largely, my ministry has been a failure. And I kind of smiled when I said that. And I said, you know, when I look at the number of people who have apostatized, people who just are, you know, marriages have fallen apart, and that part was discouraging, but I also could see some bright spots along the way. And I think we have to realize that we live in a world where there are going to be people who persevere to the end, and there's going to be a lot who do not. But we can't stand back and say, well, therefore, because they failed, I'm just giving up. I don't want to become a cynic. I'm still very optimistic about the gospel.
Yeah.
I'm still optimistic about the power of the Word of God, even though there's been those great discouragements in my ministry.
Yeah. That's really helpful. Just to, as you said, that it's good to think of maybe not just saying or seeing someone falling away, but what part did it play in your life?
Yeah.
So they might have fallen away, but you walking the road with them actually exposed some certain things in your life, or equipped you, or made you grow in your holiness.
Yeah.
So just swinging it around.
I think we need to avoid that kind of cynicism, and because it just leads to giving up, and you can't do that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, faithful is he who calls you, who also will do it.
Yeah.
And he's talking about calling to salvation. Philippians 1:6 talks about being confident in this very thing, that he who began a good work will perform it, perfect it.
Yeah.
So you just keep on.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Doug. That was really helpful.
Pleasure.
Encourage all of you to keep on helping people heal through their sin. Until next time.
Help further the work of Imprint by sharing this podcast with someone who might benefit from it, or by rating and reviewing it in your favorite podcast catcher. Visit imprinton.org for more resources and information about the ministry.